little something between you and me. Don't cost you nothing, this one's for free.
So the next section that we're going to talk about is musculoskeletal medicine. And first we're going to talk about chronic pain. So red flag questions for chronic pain. So you can be... Who's your persona going to be, Sheila, with chronic pain?
Who's 64.
Who's 64, okay. Okay, Sheila, how is this all affecting your activities, perhaps at work or at home?
Well, it is difficult. I do find that I don't have much stamina at home, you know, so I probably do have to stop and rest more, and I don't work anymore, doctor.
And what about your mood? How's that?
Oh, not great.
Has your mood ever been so low that you've thought about doing anything drastic?
No.
And how much of your pain do you think might be emotional?
I hadn't really thought.
There's a relationship between alcohol and chronic pain, and certainly alcohol can make you more prone to feeling pain. Do you mind me asking how much you would normally drink?
Probably a couple of bottles of wine at the weekend.
So how much do you think you might get through in an average week, do you think?
That would be about it. I don't really drink during the week, so, yeah. Two bottles of wine, maybe.
Yeah. What about any non-prescription remedies?
Oh, no.
No, nothing else from over-the-counter or any recreational substances?
No.
What about your sex drive? How's that been?
Not great since I went through the change, really, doctor.
Mm-hmm. And are you safe to drive?
I don't really drive much, to be honest. Not now, I don't work.
And when you're using these medications, is there anything that you're finding that you feel that you're not safe with doing?
Well, if I have a day where I do need to use, like, more of the tramadol, say, then I don't really drive on those days because they do make me a bit drowsy. Yeah, I don't have a need to drive now. I'm not working, so it doesn't really matter.
So it'd be worthwhile just talking a little bit about the information that we might provide to our patients. So, for example, for Sheila's sake, I guess the amount of information that you share with Sheila really depends on what you've got with your initial questioning with her. And I think it's reasonable to be sharing your concerns about the very real risks that opiates have, potentially that there could be a risk of dependence, and that even they may cause even more harm than that, such as death. But quite often it's worthwhile just linking in with any concerns that you know that the patient has that might try and avoid them having problems with opiates in the long-term future. So if their sex life is important, you might suggest to them that potentially it might be something that opiates might interfere with. Or if they're needing to drive, that it's clearly very important that they're not intoxicated when they're driving, and the legal implications that might be linked in with that. So we've got some notes in there where we're talking about information that could be provided to the patient. Perhaps you might want to safety net me. So we're going to come out of role and you're going to be the doctor, and you're going to safety net me for information that you might give to me about chronic pain.
Yeah, so a safety net for a patient who you are chatting about chronic pain with might go something like this. So your doctor should be told if you have ever had a history of cancer, because this could be important. And if you do find that you have progressively worsening pain, but particularly as you're resting in bed, or if you have any more worrying symptoms like losing control of your bladder, numbness around your back passage, that sort of thing, then you need to let us know about that straight away. We did talk about driving, but remember not to drive if you're drowsy, because it's actually illegal and dangerous to drive if you are drowsy as a result of your medication, and you could lose your license. And I know we talked about mood, but if you are actually feeling suicidal and having very dark thoughts, then get in touch and we can talk to you urgently. If you find that you're pain is really stopping you from being active in any way, and you're really not managing to do much, then get in touch and we'll see what we can do to help.
So there's some helpful tips when it comes to prescribing opiates. I think opiates are a great problem in primary care, and I suspect that there's an availability of opiates on the market, on the black market, as a consequence of misuse of and misprescribing of opiates by GPs and not reviewing how appropriate and how useful they are. Estimates of how useful opiates are for chronic pain are extremely variable, but it may well be that opiates aren't as useful as we'd like to think that they are for lots of chronic pain. So as a precaution, I tend to ask patients, I watch out for patients that I'm worried about that might be the sort of person that could become dependent upon medication. So, for example, people that have personality disorders or have had substance misuse problems or are prone to using medications of other sorts in a dependence-forming way, or if people are repeatedly inappropriately asking for medications, I would very much try and avoid using opiates if at all possible. And on the whole, it's probably sensible to avoid putting these substances on as repeat prescriptions and having a get-out clause, so a plan that, to say that it's probably a good idea that we only use this medication for a couple of weeks and that we should avoid using it as a repeat medication. So you can request it if you really need to, but you probably ought to be speaking to the doctor to talk about how helpful or otherwise it's been, to ensure that you try and minimise the risk of dependence upon medication.
Let's hear it for our GP. Skills improving, risk removing, no confusion.